Live in the moment by the will of God and by the words that Jesus said. Live in the moment by the will of God and by the words that Jesus said. That's living in the Spirit. That's living in power. God created you for a purpose. And He lets us know as individuals that when we trust Him, listen to Him, pay attention to His touch through the Holy Spirit, paying attention to that touch and listen to His word. Use those words and you will be successful. And no matter what you go at, the world is vicious. The world wants to destroy. The world belongs to Satan. And the world will show us their God. It's up to us to take the God we serve to the world and not be fooled by the trickery, by the evil that we're looking at. How many times do we hear people try to convince us that something didn't happen that we watched happen? Or something is not going to happen that you think is not going to, that's going to happen, because we're going to make sure it doesn't happen. Pretty soon you get to the point you don't trust anybody or anything. Did you know people will lie to you? I know. But yes, even ones in your own family. Matter of fact, it can really get rough there. But God said, I will never ever deceive you. What I say to you is truth. When I make you a promise, you can count on it. God said, I want you to live in a minute, because you and I are living in the will of God. Now, how do I know that? Well, same way you do. Check yourself out. Are you breathing? You're living in the will of God. If God didn't want you to be living, then He wouldn't do it. Excuse me. If I ever get Siri saved, God bless her. The world looks at the Christian in disbelief. And many times they have a reason. Because sometimes we aren't very Christ-like in our talk, in our actions, in what we do. But God says, when I have touched you, listen to me. In the will that I have given you, you are alive. If God wills you to live, you're breathing, then you're blessed. Therefore, if God didn't want you, if it was out of His will for you to live, trust me, you wouldn't be around. So God says, by my will, I want you to live through the power of what Jesus said. You see, well, Jesus said it this way. Let's look at it. Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered. Now, who's He answering? He's answering Satan. Satan takes Him up to tempt Him. And Satan sees that He's hungry. He hadn't eaten 40 days, 40 nights, and all of this. And he was hungry and thirsty. And here Jesus is being tempted. And Satan is saying, hey, Jesus, look at all those stones. Little stones about like that, smooth. Don't they remind you of a loaf of bread? Well, tell those stones, turn them into a loaf of bread. Go ahead and eat. But Jesus, in the word of his Father, Jesus wanted to teach you and me a lesson. Jesus wanted us to learn from his temptation. Listen to what he said. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's not the bread that I'm alive, Satan. It's not that which is physical, but that you don't see. Satan knew who Jesus was, but he wanted Jesus to break. If he could break the Son of God, we would never have a chance. But Jesus quoted something that was so amazing. Well, Jesus was giving him a little history of the Old Testament. Do you remember when the Israelites turned on God, on Moses? Do you remember when the nation was turning and they were crying out, "Oh, let us go back to Pharaoh. We'll make bricks for Pharaoh. At least at Pharaoh's place, as a slave, we got all the pheasants we wanted. We got fed good, so we would word. Let us make brick for Pharaoh in slavery." And God sent them manna, angel food. God sent them manna to eat. He taught them a lesson here. It's not the meat or the bread of the physical, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God sent them manna from heaven, referred to a lot of time as angel food. And they lived on it. They didn't have to have the others, but they had to have his word. Whatever it is has to have God's blessing or it won't work. I don't care what you call it. But Jesus says, "Listen to me. I'm going to go. I'm going to be tempted. And this temptation is for you. Satan is not going to overwhelm me. I will beat out this temptation. I will do it for you on your behalf." And Jesus did. Because you see, it was by the will of God that his Son was to come. And it was by the word that God gave Jesus that you and I would have the same power that Jesus had, would have the same strength that Jesus has. And he says, "I want you to pay attention to that. By the will of God and by the power of what Jesus says, you can make it." Jesus said he came to do the will of God. He came to do his Father's will. Listen to him. John 6:38-40. "For I have come down from heaven." See, Jesus was not born of the flesh. He came into the flesh from heaven. It was not the dust of the earth by which Jesus was formed. Jesus was in heaven with God the Father. And Jesus came down to experience your life and my life. No temptation has befallen you that has not befallen Jesus, and he conquered it. Therefore, he came down to live your life for you. He came down by the will of God because you and I could not pay the penalty for our sins. We were doomed to eternal damnation. And Jesus said, "I'll pay the price. I'll take their guilt. I'll die because of their sin." And he comes down and he's preaching God's word. And he tells them, don't mess with the word of my Father. For the word of my Father is all the power this church will ever need. I have sent you my word, Jesus says. Read it. Pay attention to it. It is the will of my Father. Now listen to this one. Jesus said by the will of God that believers are a gift from God to Jesus. Remember? I did a whole sermon on that once. You are a gift from God to his Son. And God says, Son, those who believe are yours. Oh, this is quite a story, folks. Those who believe are yours. My gift to you. Remember in Genesis where we're talking about families? Jesus, the family for Jesus would be the church. That would be us. We are the brothers and sisters. And God has given us to his Son. Now you tell me that don't make you special. That God chose you to give as a gift to his Son. And he says, and I love you, Son. I mean, I got to look at myself, Larry Pete. Lord, you're going to give me to Jesus as a gift? I just knew somebody was going to be in trouble with that. I never saw myself as a gift to anybody. Period. But God did. Because you see, God created you. You know who he created you to be? You. He created you to be you. And you are special. There's not another one like you. There's only one you. And God chose to give you to his Son as a gift. That makes you special. A special gift. Oh, the Lord's not through with you yet. No, you're not cleaned up yet. And yeah, you can go ahead and thank, Lord, I just don't see it. What did you ever see in me? Well, here's a fact. You don't see what God sees. You see yourself as a mess. As a failure in life so often, God sees you completed already with him. God can fast forward in any situation, but you're that important. But he wants you to pay attention to how much he loves you. Believers are a gift from God to him. John 17:6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me. It's Jesus, his word. He's telling everybody, all his followers, about the gift. And he's saying it to God in a prayer. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. What was the word that had to be obeyed? Love. Love one another. Have mercy on each other. The key is always in the word love. For God so loved that he gave. He so loved you. That he gave you and me to Jesus as a gift. We should count that with such blessings in which you were given to Jesus. Here's your family, son. They've chosen you through the love that I placed in their heart. They saw you, son, as coming from me and their father. Son, I'm blessing you with the greatest of my creation, the human existence. Here's your family. And God looks, and God's pleased. Now, our actions, we're a mess. Up and down, round and around in circles. Half the time, we don't know whether we're coming or going. And the other half of the time, we're going when we should have been coming. That's called the human existence. But see, Jesus looks beyond what he sees in me as a human, and he sees the perfected you and me. I see you, Jesus says, the way you will be with me through eternity. But now we're on earth, and we got a job to do as a church, as a body of Jesus Christ on earth. We're the only physical part of Jesus that's walking on earth today. When the church is pulled out, do you know why the United States of America even still exists? Because of the church. Do you know why the world has not ended completely? Because of God's church. It can't happen until the church is pulled out. And the world will not destroy the earth. Even our ignorance won't do it. Because it belongs to God. This is God's earth. He made. This is his solar systems, galaxies. All belong to him. And the scripture says he's making it at such a pace that the scientists let you know that we can't get a telescope that'll go far enough to the end of all the galaxies, of all the existence, because new ones are being created faster than the speed of light. And we're going to have a lot of work to do. You're not going to be bored in heaven, folks. You're not going to be bored serving the Lord. But God says, I want you prepared. I have prepared you as a gift. The church is a gift. You are that precious to God. We should look inside ourselves and take inventory. What made me precious? Love, God's love. What made me an individual that could be fed with something other than bread? Love. If God needs to, he'll send down manna from heaven to keep the human existence alive. But he says, I will do it. So you've been given to Jesus as a gift. Jesus said, by the will of God, that he will lose nothing God gave him. God gave me, according to God's word, to Jesus as a gift. Gave you to Jesus as a gift if you're a believer. And he says that he will lose nothing God gave him. Listen to John 6:39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Jesus said, I'm not losing you. But Lord, what about me? I'm a mess. I know you are, Larry. But you're mine. I love you. And I see you complete. And you're coming to me. But now, Larry, you preach my word. You stand for my will. And God, our Father, will protect you through all the rest. And when the time has come, when it is right, then you will come and be with me. And forever will we be together. And we fear it. Death is something that we fear. Do you know why? Because we were never created to ever die. God created man to live forever. When sin came in, then death came because of sin. And we cannot come in the presence of God in a sinful state. And the only way we could get out of the sinful state to come into the presence of God is to leave this sinful body. But God knew this in advance. And therefore, he said, so you will go into a spiritual body. And then, after that, when the time has come and all is brought to an end for all new heaven and a new earth to begin again, you will be with me, and I'm going to come back to this earth, and I am going to resurrect all that have died in Christ, the church. And you will be coming out of the tomb where your spiritual body will intertwine and reconnect with a glorified body like Jesus has. And never again will you cry. Never again will you feel pain. Never again will you have fear. For you will be with me forever. Now, all over a gift that God gave his son, you, in the mess we are, here, son, here's this earthly mess that I blessed, and Jesus watches us grow, and one day he'll call us home. And that won't be a sad time for the one that's called. And the others, the ones we love, our families, we weep, but we don't weep continually for long, because the same spirit that touches your life, that will give you peace, is a spirit that will enter, come within you to let you know it's all okay. Larry's not really dead. And no, he's not sleeping. He's with the Lord, waiting for you to come on. And together, the scripture says, we will forever be with the Lord. Now, that's the truth of our Christian faith. Jesus said, by the will of God, that my salvation is assured. It really bothers your pastor when I listen to people tell you, yes, you're saved today, but you can be lost tomorrow. That is not scripture. And my Lord is not a weakling that he can't hold on to you. You see, when I said yes to Jesus, he grabbed me. I didn't grab him. He grabbed me out of the depth of life itself. And he says, I got you, Larry. But Lord, I can't hold on. And I hear that voice. I can. I can hold on to you. Because you see, you and I were gifts from God to his son. And Jesus ain't letting any of his gifts get away. We are a gift, and we belong to him. And God said, I will seal you. Listen to John 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me. Now, this is Jesus talking. And he's telling us, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone, I did say everyone, didn't I? It's written, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in there. You don't add something. Now, Larry, if you act right, well, good gracious. Anybody who knows your pastor knows I have never learned how to act right yet. Amen. It's not in that. No, it's in the action that God took, that he so loved his son that he gave you as a gift to his son. And Jesus says, when you're mine, you will be raised up to everlasting life. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. 1 John 2:17. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God, listen to me, lives forever. What's God's will? For me to believe. God gave me every reason to believe. He showed me how to believe. And God said, if you believe, you will see me forever. I believe. It's not in anything that I can do on my own. I can't keep rules. I cannot keep the check marks going. Oh, I did this right, I did that right. For one thing, it's depressing for me to try to do that. The Lord keeps my heart. I entrusted it to him when I said, I believe. That's what Jesus told us to do. And when I said, I believe, I entrusted myself to him. And Jesus says, I got you. I got you. That's the word of God. And it doesn't get better than the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together this hour to worship you in spirit and in truth. Touch us now, dear Lord God, as each of us search your heart in our life, that we may truly focus on your words. Give us courage and boldness to battle the temptations and the trials ahead. Forgive us, Father, for our sins, our shortcomings. Now give us strength to carry on, to follow through in your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.